This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. Today's podcast is a very special expert by experience with Keith.
When I used to go out to the pub, I was always at the toilet more frequently than any other peer group. Got laughed at. It was called peanut bladder. One day I was trying to go to the toilet to pass urine and it just wasn't there. I could feel my bladder was full. I was retaining urine and I knew I needed to go and see the doctor at that point.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I am joined today by my colleague Emma. You may remember we met Emma for the first time a couple of weeks ago. She's fairly new to Coloplast. So hi, Emma. Thanks for joining me again.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
I fully admit I am bowing to your superior knowledge by having you on board here, because as I said in the title, this is a really special expert by experience where we are joined by the lovely Keith. So without further ado, hi, Keith. How are you?
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Emma. I'm great. Thank you.
Now, the reason we have Keith and Emma with us, of course, is you may remember a couple of weeks ago I spoke to Emma, we spoke about the fairly recently launched product of Luja. And Emma, being a former urology nurse and our urology specialist within Coloplast Professional, I'm having a go because Keith is our product ambassador from Luja. So I thought, who better to help us out here than Emma and to join us with Keith? But first of all, sorry, Emma, I'm pushing you to the back here because we've already met you and I want to know a bit more about Keith. So, Keith, I always say it's almost like your weird sort of game show panel moment. So it's a what's your name, where are you from and a bit of your background.
Well, my name's Keith Ford. I live in the Teesside area in the northeast. I've been a mental health nurse since 1983. Presently working in higher education at the University of York. And I was diagnosed with benign prostate hyperplasia and subsequent urine retention as a consequence of that. It was just over 5 years ago when I was given that diagnosis and went on to use intermittent self-catheterization since then.
So 5 years ago. What was your initial part of your journey like? Because you said you almost woke up and it was just happened one day. There was no kind of run up to it, was there? I know that when we've spoke about it before, it was just one morning you woke up not being able to pass water.
I guess in a way that alerted me to get in touch with the doctor. But thinking in hindsight, when I used to go out to the pub, I was always at the toilet more frequently than any other peer group. And, you know, consequently, you know, got laughed at for that. It was called peanut bladder. But it was just one of those things, you know, the first time you went, it was almost every 15, 20 minutes I was trotting off to the toilet. So I don't know whether there was any kind of insidious onset, but then it got to the point, like you mentioned, just one day I was trying to go to the toilet to pass urine and it just wasn't there. I could feel my bladder was full. I was retaining urine. I could feel like the backfill pain and kind of in me loin and me flanks. And I knew I needed to go and see the doctor at that point.
Oh, is this something that, obviously, in your line of work, Emma, that you saw quite frequently? Was this quite a frequent early presentation of issues?
So, yeah, so many, many men will suffer with sort of the simple, what we call LUTS, the lower urinary tract symptoms. So, Keith, you described, you know, having a feel like you had a small bladder going quite a lot. Did you get up quite a bit at night, Keith?
Yeah. You get used to it. You don't realise at first, and then you think back. Oh, yeah, you know, it's maybe it's a couple of times a night now that I'm having to get up.
So that's quite common for patients. They will think that it's just something that's happened to them. It's part of age. They don't realise that actually it could be sort of a prostatic issue. And unfortunately, some people do go into retention, full-blown retention, really painful, sometimes after a few beers. So whilst we record this, we're just pre-Euros finals. Fingers crossed there aren't many attendances to A&E over the weekend. But yeah, it can be brought on by all sorts of things. But yeah, a painful retention is quite uncomfortable for patients and needs a catheter insertion. And that painful urine retention is eased just like that with a catheter insertion. And that's what happens to a lot of men.
So what was your first experience then, Keith, with catheterisation? Where did your journey start at that point?
I'd gone to see the GP and she did a digital kind of rectal examination, said that my prostate was enlarged and that would be the consequence for the retention. I was still managing to pass urine at this point, but, you know, I could feel I wasn't emptying fully. Then PSA tests were done and my PSA was high, got referred to a urologist. And then the urologist kind of did an ultrasound and said, oh yeah, there's definitely urine in your bladder. You're retaining. And, you know, I think the best course of action would be to use ISC. So referred me to a nurse and I went and saw the nurse and kind of from then on started using catheters.
And what was the first catheter like that you had? Because I know you've had quite a journey through a few different products, haven't you?
Yeah, I was only offered the one. There was no choice. There was very little training and I was really sceptical and apprehensive doing it. The only thing that had kind of passed up my urethra was a cystoscopy previously, and that was really painful. So I envisaged that it was going to be a similar kind of level of discomfort. The catheter was long, it was fixed, it had a slide kind of handle on it that you detached that was plastic. A lot of it was exposed to the air. It was uncomfortable. I got a dragging feeling when I took it out. And that was when it started, really, the discomfort, the bleeding, and the start of the UTIs.
And how long were you using those before you got referred or were aware there were other products on the market?
I was using them for probably about a year.
Wow.
So that was a year of pain, discomfort, bleeding, yeah. Infections.
And even though being a healthcare professional, and I'd seen catheters before, but there'd been indwelling catheters in the work I was doing, so I wasn't familiar with a range of ISC catheters. I'd had enough and I just thought there must be something else out there that's either suits me better, is a little bit more discreet, because these were really long and cumbersome anyway. And I was feeling the need to use them a little bit more frequently. So it was limiting my ability to go out and feel normal, really, and do the things I wanted to do.
You said that you limited that quite a lot. Sorry, Hannah. You limited your going out quite a lot then.
I guess I did, and I didn't realise I was at the time because, you know, it's like, I can't be bothered. I'm not really, you know, up to this. I mean, my wife would carry a handbag, but even these long catheters wouldn't fit into a handbag.
That was what I was just going to say. It sounds like, you know, you were saying they were fixed and they were quite cumbersome. So it wasn't like you could just easily slide one in your pocket or something like that and take them out and about with you. So they wouldn't, I mean, us women do carry fairly hefty handbags, and the fact it wouldn't even fit in your wife's handbag sounds like it was quite a large thing. So after the year, you then started to do a little bit more research and look into things. And what did you then come across at that point?
Well, it was just a straightforward Google search, really. And I was looking at kind of male intermittent catheters, and Coloplast came up on the you know, the Google search. Thought, oh, well, I'll have a look at this. I'd heard of the brand before. Obviously, with being in healthcare, you see different products around and boxes on shelves with things in that I didn't really know what they were, but saw the name. So I thought, oh, well, you know, quite reputable. I'll inquire. And so I just followed the link and, you know, followed it up with an email, kind of giving a quick overview saying I'm using this one presently. What else is there? What can I do? And I was surprised at what I was seeing on the screen anyway, because they were a lot smaller. I was like, how do they package them so small? Is is it a different product? Is it, am I looking at the right thing? But I got followed up and the guy telephoned me and spoke to me and talked me through it. And I just felt from that moment that I felt more reassured that I wasn't the only one. I wasn't left alone, because there was no follow-up from the hospital or the nurse in relation to catheter care or procedure I was having to do. And then I just chose, well, they sent me three. I preferred two and used them kind of interchangeably. One was a set with a bag on, and I was used to using a bag, so I would use that on an evening, and I used to use that when I was sitting down. So that was easier that way. And if I was tired or if I did get up in the night, I could use that. But it also enabled me to monitor my urine in terms of the volume and the clarity and whether I needed to increase my fluids. The other one, there was the SpeediCath, which was really pocket size. And I used to like going and having that in my pocket. And that was one I would use if I was standing up, you know, because men's toilets out and about in football grounds and theatres and cinemas and places like that, you know, there's not much provision to do anything. So I could handle that really quickly, and there was no need for me to sit down on a toilet that I, you know, might not like to really. So yeah, I had that combination. So I was quite happy with that until kind of something else came along.
So how were you introduced to Luja? How you were obviously using the other products that the company does, but how were you introduced to Luja in particular?
Being in mental health nursing, we used experts by experience, so people who'd used our services to give advice and inform, and we would really value that. And even using what I was using, the first two products from Coloplast, I felt like I'd, you know, that was a game changer for me. My quality of life had improved, and I felt I wanted to give a little bit of something back. So I just inquired. I said, do you have like experts by experience or whatever? And somebody had passed my email to somebody else, and I got a reply saying, we're setting up an ambassador program. Would you be interested? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So the first Ambassador's Day, there was like this kind of excitement around the place. And I thought, oh, this is a nice place to be in the office. But the excitement was about the launch of Luja, and I wasn't aware of that. So we got shown it, and me and a couple of the other chaps were like, can we try it? And they went, no, not yet. Not yet. So we were quite excited with what we saw. But then we got offered, you know, a couple of months down the line when it was ready for trial, they said, would you be interested? I said, yes, I would. And, you know, I've never looked back since, really.
It does sort of disappoint me, though, that you didn't have that follow-up and that support from your nurse that originally had actually taught you ISC, and that you had to go through a year of discomfort, and then you had to actually email a company to find out more.
Yeah. Perhaps I'm lucky with being in healthcare and being, able to sit at a computer and do those kind of things, but I feel like for other males out there, and females, I guess, as well, but, you know, with just that kind of product. But thinking, like, if they're not able to do that and don't know that there's a choice or feel inhibited or restricted with what they're using presently, then you lose sense of hope, and it does it, it. You feel disempowered, and you don't feel as if you want to go out, and it's those psychological almost burdens that weigh heavy.
Coloplast Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk to find out more. What would you say was the biggest mental lift for you, the difference between using SpeediCath and the other one you were using at the same time to using Luja? What was the real sort of eureka moment, if you like, between the two?
I'm smiling because I remember it quite vividly. And it's not the most technical of things when you think about it, but it sounds like you're having a real wee because of the flow. And I know the benefits, the scientific benefits behind having full bladder drainage and less residual urine, the better it is for kind of staving off UTIs. And touch wood, I've never had a UTI since I changed from that old product to any Coloplast product. So I see myself as being very fortunate. And I know I can pass urine a small amount, so I do have the benefit of some urethral rinsing. But the eureka moment was that, whoa, this sounds like a proper wee now. But the comfort the discreet nature of it. I keep one in my pocket and, you know, nobody knows. I go at the loo, and because it empties at such a pace, I'm in and out like I would with a normal wee, you know. I don't feel as if I need any additional paraphernalia or it takes longer, because with the two eyelet catheters, I wasn't taught to reposition, and I used to call it jiggling, but you used to have to give a little bit of a jiggle, maybe once or twice, to make sure. But if you were in a rush, or you were out at an event or something and you didn't want to miss anything, or, you know, the anxiety is there. You know, you're holding yourself tense, and you're kind of defeating the object. So now in hindsight, I can see I was leaving a little bit of urine behind, and the frequency of using the catheters was greater because of the residual urine that was there. Now the only reason the frequency increases that I need to use Luja is because of the enlargement of my prostate, because that's deteriorating at the minute. So that's where I'm at.
And I Hannah might not have heard this story, but I have. But tell me the impact it's had on your relationships, obviously with your wife, and, you know, being able to sort of do things a little bit sort of quicker. You're not standing outside the toilet waiting for you.
No, that's right. I mean, you know, when you're getting ready to go out, and you know, you always have a tactical wee, don't you, before you go anywhere in the car or wherever. And my wife used to be waiting there, and I say, oh, just give me a minute. And you'd feel as if you were a bit under pressure. Now I'm done, my shoes are on. I say, are we ready to go now? So, yeah, it's me that's kind of raring to go and not being held up. And yeah, it's a sense of normality again. It gives you a psychological lift.
And it goes back to that mental burden again. And for you, that biggest thing was, it sounds like a normal way. And
it does.
I know that we spoke a lot, Emma, about the residual urine, and also the pulling of the lining of the bladder as well, things like that. And we spoke a lot about that side of things. But to actually hear Keith, for you, Keith, it was just as simple as, it sounds normal. You're not feeling like somebody, if they were listening outside, would think, oh, what's going on in there then? And it is about having those scales of normality that you can just pop out, go for it. Because there's also, I suppose, the danger of, if you know it's going to take a little bit longer, leaving it a little bit longer than is necessary until it's a more convenient time to be able to spend that a bit more time.
That's right.
It's the wrong way to go about it, but it's how a lot of people address it. Well, I haven't got time to now. I'll do it in a bit. I haven't got time now. I'll do it in a bit. And then that then leads to more risk of urine infections. And at that point, what the listeners can't hear now is Emma is smiling like a little Cheshire cat here. And I can tell you're dying to say something, Emma, so go for it.
I was just going to say that Keith and I had a chat about something about Luja yesterday, and he mentioned how the difference, and I wanted him to share the difference of the two catheters and the sort of the insertion and the feelings of when you're catheterizing. I'd really like you to share that with the listeners.
When I was given the Luja, they gave me like a trial pack. I got 2/3 of the way through them and loved them. I thought they were great. I mean, you never believed you could ever love a catheter or whatever, but you do, you know, you think like they're great. It's made a difference. And so I was putting some of them to one side because I was saving them for best, if you like, worried that I wasn't going to get any more. And so that made me go back to the two eyelet catheter. And I just saw the comparison again, the difference. With the two eyelet catheter, I was starting to get the pinching and the nipping as you get that mucosal suction, the need to reposition, the slow. I was like, come on, where's the urine? You know, why I feel like I need a wee. Why is it not coming out at the rate it usually does? So, yeah, going back and trying those kind of things really made me see the difference again with Luja. In terms of insertion and extracting it, it's in and out as quick as anything. The other catheters that I had, the very first ones, if you did bend them where the kink was, you used to lose some of the lubrication and you'd feel the kink as it went up your urethra, and it really did make you wince and make your eye water. With Luja, you don't get any of that. And, you know, pulling the catheter out the old style, it used to drag because the urine used to take some of the coating off it. But now, again, with the coating on Luja and the other kind of speedy cath and them, absolutely brilliant. You don't feel it really. It's a smooth procedure. It's great.
Amazing. And again, I could just see Emma just sat there. This is like music to your ears, isn't it, Emma?
Well, when you find a product that can change a patient's life, as a nurse, that is just absolutely, that's the best job satisfaction you can get. And it doesn't matter what product it is, but if you've been able to help a patient and see a difference in their quality of life, their mental well-being, their physical well-being, they're able to go out, they're able to do things, that is just, it's indescribable. It's brilliant.
And what I like is that both of you have actually been involved with Luja from quite an early stage, really, because I know, Emma, you were involved during its infancy when it was being talked about evaluating. When you were in the cab. Yeah, evaluate it. And obviously, Keith, you've been involved as one of the first people to actually start using it. So it's really nice to actually, from that perspective, to have you both on here together, because we've now heard both of your journeys. And how amazing is that, that, like you said, from both your aspects, Emma, from that medical point of view, that it's stopping the UTIs, things like that. And Keith, from your point of view, that as a user, your increased quality of life from having that catheter has just been immense for you. And I think if you'd look back to your early days with the first catheter, you thought things were good then, and everything's just got better and better and better.
It has, and I mentioned to somebody from Coloplast before, so when I'm talking about it, I said, I can't curb my enthusiasm and me kind of, you know, how grateful I am. Am I coming across as being a bit too happy-clappy about this? Does it put people off? Because I really don't want to do that, but it's not as if I'm doing it with a gun pointed at my head. It really does make that difference. And, you know, for what it is, I mean, I know there's an awful lot of science behind it and research and all the rest of it, but for a piece of plastic to be able to make that difference to your life, it's immense. It's unbelievable.
But I think sharing experience, sharing stories, I think is so impactful.
Absolutely. And which is why these sort of podcasts are absolutely amazing. And I can't think of a lovelier way to finish. Oh, Keith, you just saying what a difference it's made. I can't thank you both enough for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved to almost hear how your story started at different points and then you've met in the middle. So it's really, really nice. I feel like we've almost like closed the storybook on that bit there. We've got to that end of the chapter there. So thank you both so much. Emma, I can't wait to have you on another pod with me. And Keith, I hope you'd like to join us again at some point as well.
Yeah, it would be a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So thank you both. And to everyone listening, we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Coloplast Professional.